Praise the Lord. What a great day in the house of the Lord. I'm probably feeling like you are tonight. What an incredible morning service we had today. Presence and power of God in the house and those beautiful baptisms, 11 people, incredible miracles. And the Lord is doing his work. It reminds me, the book of Acts says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord is adding to the church those who need to be saved and must be saved, and we rejoice with the Lord. Let's keep praying. Let's keep interceding. We have to break the spiritual bondage over the people and over the blindness over their eyes, break the powers of darkness. People come to the knowledge and the salvation of the Lord. Well, tonight the message is, like David, worship and honor. A people like David in worship and honor. I have these two thoughts quickened in my heart for tonight's service. So let's begin with number one, worship. Worship of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 13, 1-4. David was, of course, a man of worship. Bible says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who were in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us. The ark represented the presence of the Lord. It was the presence of God. David said, let us bring the presence of God. Let's bring the ark of God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. I know it's right in your eyes, and that all the assembly would say, let's make sure the presence of God is in the house and in the midst of his people. Then we have Psalm 132, 1-5. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. He was speaking of the ark, bringing it up to Zion's hill, to the presence of the Lord. David's first desire when he was made king over all Israel was that the ark of God's presence should be established in the nation once again. That God's felt presence, God's manifest presence, that the people would come and be refreshed in the presence of the Lord and bask in that divine glory. That was David's first desire, and all the people said they would do so. And David's the one who brought up the ark of the covenant to the city of David, to Jerusalem, that the people could come and gather into the presence of the Lord, and the whole nation would be under the canopy of the cloud of God's presence. Hallelujah. David, above everything else, was a worshiper. A worshiper. God used him to establish a standard of worship that remains to this day, is enshrined in the Psalms, and will continue throughout eternity. David is the one that was used by God to birth that worship realm into the earth. It's here with us to this day. We read it through and through in the book of Psalms. And if you read the book of Revelation, at points here and there where you see the multitude in heaven, that same worship is pouring out forever at the presence of the Lord. David was such an instrumental person, such a strategic person for God, that once he reigned and once he established the worship, all successive kings and generations after him were measured by the standard that he set for the nation in the realms of worship, in the realms of seeking the Lord. And the people were either like David, or it says they were not like David. The kings were like David, or they were not like David. He was that standard, and God set him forth. as this wonderful example of our worship and our dedication and praise to the Lord. The worship of David, Davidic worship, expressive, exuberant, vibrant, joy-filled praise and adoration of the Lord. Singing, shouting, dancing, lifting hands, rejoicing, bowing before the Lord. Man delighting in God, and God delighting in man. Revelation 3, 7 to 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. He who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, and God is with you." Hallelujah. The key of David. The key of David speaks of authority. Authority to open doors, close doors, to release things. The key of David is authority by God for opportunity, for effectiveness, for ministry, for enlargement. God opens these doors. But the key of David is something far more significant, has been noted by many in history. The key of David has to do with worship and warfare. Worship and warfare. David was a man of both, and by it he triumphed over his enemies and he established the kingdom of God. Praise weapons and worship warfare bring the victory. It's the key of David in that realm. The people who learn to worship are the people who battle most effectively. The people who learn to worship are the people who battle most effectively, and no door can be closed to them as God wills it to be so. This is the power of our praise and worship as we walk with God. This key of David, keep it close. The key of David in your life. 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Thanks and triumph go together. John 16, 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Good cheer and overcoming go together. Worship and triumph go together. The Lord is emphasizing that in his word to us. And then we have the beautiful verses in Psalm 149. "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their God. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints." This honor have all his saints, to take up the high praises of God and the two-edged sword in our hand, the word of God, and triumph and win over our enemies and bring down some kings, some principalities, some rulers that would try and hold us in captivity. You know, is there anyone here tonight and The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you and saying you need to start to praise the Lord more fully once again. As you go about your days, a conscious decision. Today I'm going to praise the Lord more than I did before. Maybe a spirit of heaviness. Maybe this the jaded spirit of life tries to settle down on us. If we will begin to praise the Lord, we will have this victory. The presence of God will come upon our lives. This key of David, worship and warfare. So don't hold back this week. Get up tomorrow morning and begin to praise the Lord. Audibly, out loud, vocally. Lord, I bless you today. I praise you today. If you have a moment here and there during your day, you can think about, oh Lord, I love you. Well, why don't you say, Lord, I bless you. I praise you right now. I lift my hands to you. I worship you. And see how the victory of God comes into your spirit. Sometimes we let go of things a little bit that we shouldn't. Let's begin to praise the Lord once again. Like David, he was so special to God. God said, I'm going to set him up as a high water mark. I'm going to measure all people and all generations by the standard of worship that he set. So powerful, a man after God's own heart. He delighted in God, and God delighted in him. Number two, honor. Honor. David was a man who knew how to honor people and how to honor authority, and how vital this is and critical in our Christian disposition and victory. Honor. Psalm 105, verses 13 to 15. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, God permitted no one to do his people wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Honor of one another, honor of people. And we're going to see a few scriptures here in a moment. Honor of authority. How vital this is to a constant Christian life, a victorious Christian life, a cleansed Christian life. The Lord wants to keep us sanctified and pure in spirit. Honor. He said, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Other translations say, do not hurt my chosen ones. Do not hurt my chosen ones. Who are the chosen ones? The people of the Lord. We take that out even further in the will of God, as his word shows. God says, do not hurt my people and do my preachers, I mean my prophets, no harm. Do not hurt my people and do not harm my prophets. What a word from God to our lives today, that we learn to walk in authority and honor authority and keep this tenor on our heart. James chapter 3, 8 to 10. This honor. What is honor? Honor is reverence, respect, value, care. It's how you make someone feel. It's how you make someone feel. Respect, honor, care, value. James 3, 8 to 10. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude, the likeness, the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Often we regard people according to what they are. Well, they're this or they're that, or they're not this or they're not that. But we need to regard people for who they are. because they are made in the image of God. They are made in the likeness of God, fallen though it may be, still struggling though it may be, some imperfections though it may be. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God, and God says, I want you to honor that in every person. Well, let's let the word of God speak. Ephesians chapter 6, 2-3, honor your father and mother. Reverence them. Let them know how you feel in deep respect and thankfulness. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Romans 12:9, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. That's the body of Christ as we move in our relationships and ministry and fellowships, in our speech and conversations. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another in honor, this reverence, this deep respect and value. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine, his teaching may not be blasphemed. And people say, those Christians are just like everybody else when you put pressure on them and when they don't get their own way. Let as many as are employees under responsibility and duty count their own masters, their boss, worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. There's no question mark behind it. Honor the king. Oh, well, we have a prime minister. Doesn't say honor the prime minister. Honor the king. Honor the office. Honor the authority. Reverence, respect, value, care. This is the call of God, and it'll set you free to walk in this world like you should, to walk among the politicians and the legislatures and everything else and everything that goes on. But if you have honor in your spirit, you will be kept free to live a holy life and a victorious life in God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, honor the king. David, 1 Samuel 24, David and the honor that he had for authority. There are many instances in the scripture. This is one of the main ones in 1 Samuel 24, 4-13. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Saul was right there, unprotected, with David's men ready to take him out. David, this is the day. Can't you see the will of God, how this happened? It's right here for you to take this person out. David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him, or smote him, KJV says, because he had cut Saul's robe. He'd taken from his honor, his position. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got him up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm. Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see? Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. How about we take that proverb in tonight? Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. I'm going to guard my words. I'm going to guard my life. I'm going to guard my spirit. We need to guard our heart. Not allow any resentment to rise up in our heart against a brother, against a sister, a parent, an official, a person, a boss, an employer. Because by that we will be defiled. And it'll hinder our spirit, it'll hinder our joy and our gladness and our victory. We conduct ourselves. We are not as other people. We are Christians. We are the people of the Lord. We act differently. We behave differently. We speak differently. We project differently. Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All day long, Jesus, wash me, Jesus, all day long. Wash me, Jesus, all day long. Every conversation, everywhere I go, any defilement, wash me, Jesus, keep me pure. If I cross the line, quick to pull back, repent. Keep me, Jesus, in your victory. Keep me in a place where I walk in honor of people, in honor of authority, in honor of all men. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, the empowering presence of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause you trouble. That's what he's saying. Take heed. Look carefully, lest anyone fail of the empowering presence of God to live a victorious Christian life, and we let ourselves get affected and defiled by conversations and governments and situations. He said, look carefully, lest any root of bitterness, poison, grievance, offense, resentment, springing up, trouble you, KJV says. And by this, many be defiled. Because when you're troubled, it's hard to keep it to yourself, isn't it? It just begins to spill out. And the Lord says, I want to protect my people from that. I want to keep them pure, clean, holy, joyful, walking with me in righteousness, walking through this world in truth, in integrity, principled people that know the spiritual battle and know how to win the victory through Jesus Christ. Let's have the worship ministry come. And Matthew 5, 9, close out with this scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace just doesn't happen all by itself, you know. You have to make peace. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there is one who is always trying to take peace from the earth. There is a wicked enemy called Satan. He is trying to take peace out of every marriage, out of every person, out of every family, out of every church, out of every culture, nation. He seeks to take peace from the earth. But we are called to be peacemakers. We're there bringing in peace. We are reconciling. We're redeeming the world. We're praying for people. We're lifting up people. We're encouraging. We're comforting. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they shall be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Let's open up our hearts and receive the word of the Lord tonight. Let's look into our worship spirit tonight. Just say, Lord, I'm going to worship you more fully this week than I have. Maybe it's fallen off a little bit. And, you know, the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise overcomes the spirit of heaviness. Get back into the victory of the Lord. I'm just going to praise the Lord. Maybe your life seems a little dull and the skies are gray. And you say, I'm going to start to praise the Lord tonight, and I'm going to praise God tomorrow, and I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to dance, and I'm going to shout unto God, and I'm going to live in the vibrant presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're bothered a lot by politics and culture and all the wickedness and deterioration. It just, man, it's beyond just information. It's gotten down in your spirit, and it's done something in you. It's kind of defiled you, and you're cantankerous and angry. And just give that up to the Lord tonight. Say, Lord, that's not for me to carry. That's not to be in my heart, Lord. I'm going to start to honor. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'll bring change where I can. Lord, you open a door, and I'll do what I can to bring honor and life and blessing. But I'm not going to allow myself to come under that spirit of heaviness, that world spirit. That's a spirit of strife and contention. Set my spirit free, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to minister to us in these areas tonight. And is there anyone here tonight that needs prayer? Say, I need a touch from God. I need the presence of God on my life. I feel broken. I feel downcast. I feel like a spirit of heaviness has come on my life. Step out from where you are. Come to the altar. Begin to lift your hands. People will come around you and pray and help lift you and encourage you and comfort you in the presence of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Well, let's close out in worship and let the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts.